Good morning, cooks.
Good morning.
How's everybody? On behalf of the session, the staff, and the congregation, we welcome you to the service this morning. Whether you're here with us, whether you're live streaming, or possibly joining us later on in the day on the website, we welcome you. This morning, we welcome back to our pulpit Sarah Diane Jones. You might remember she's been with us earlier this year. Let me tell you a little bit about Sarah. We just chatted a little bit, and we have a few minor connections. She's lived in almost every southern state, so we do claim her as a good southern girl. Born in Alabama. Alabama had a bad night last night, but we're not going to talk about
that.
That's
true.
We're not going to.
Does she roll tide or does she
worry? Yeah. She rolls tide, although she spent a lot of time, as we just discussed, around Knoxville. There you go. Merville College. Now, that's Maryville, but if you're from up in there, it's Merville. Because my dad, Jack King, was from there, and that's all we heard was Merville. So, but to go on about her resume, she worked with PCUSA's Young Adult Volunteer Program. She has spent 4 years with Sardis Presbyterian here in Charlotte. She served as Program Associate for the Center for Excellence in Christian Education at Union Presbyterian Seminary during its startup year. And in June, she received her Master's of Divinity and Master's of Art in Christian Education from Union. And so I was kidding her. That was some kind of load to carry, to have a double master's there. So that's very, very wonderful. Welcome any of the visitors joining us this morning. We have visitor cards in the narthex. If you don't mind filling one out, and you can give it to one of the ushers or some of us, and we'd be more than happy to get it to the right place. All adults are invited to attend our Bible study this evening. It's every Sunday at 6 p.m. There's a new topic that they've started, I think maybe last week, and that is navigating family conflict. Our fall festival will be held next Saturday, October the 26th, from 2 to 5 in the parking lot of the Fellowship Hall, which is now open. Right, Dale? Completely open? I see that there from Mike Stanford. And I mean, that hand went like that. It's kind of like that, right, Mike? There'll be games and candy and lunch, snow cones and things. For all the kids to do and the adults, you're invited. We do need more donations of bags of candy. So if you can get those into the narthex or coming by this Friday or to the church office, that would be greatly appreciated. We're still collecting items for two things. Number one is for the North Carolina disabled vets, shut-in vets, or veterans in general in need through next Sunday, the 27th, for Operation North State. You can also donate money, and those checks should be made payable to Operation North State. They would also like handmade cards from the children. That would be much very welcome as well. There are collection boxes over in the narthex, and I believe in the Ed Building entranceway in the narthex. Also, as always on this time of year during the week, we will be carrying or collecting for Operation Christmas Child. Through the November the 22nd, we'll be taking those. And I think we supply the boxes. We picked up a few this week back in the narthex, so I think we'll have those ready in there. So suggested lists for both Operation North State and for Operation Christmas Child can be found in the weekly newsletter. It'll give you an idea of what we need. The beautiful flowers today in the sanctuary there in celebration of Johnny Quinn's 78th birthday. Johnny, happy birthday. Let's give Johnny a round of applause. Very good. This is from her family page, Jerry, Darren, the Taylors, and Logan. And now Allison Cameron will be leading us in the responsive call to worship, and then Sarah Diane will be giving us the message. Thank you very much.
Let us worship God. Let us worship God.
Who never fails to make a path for us.
Let us worship God.
Knowing that God is by our side.
Let us worship God.
Good morning. Let's open our time together with prayer. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you have made paths in the mighty waters, and you make new roads in the desert. You calm the waters and soften the winds, knowing that your people are fearful and in need of your calming spirit. Be with us in this space as we celebrate all that you are and all that you have done and are doing. Amen. Our first hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 323. If we say we haven't sinned, we are lying to ourselves and to God. So we go to God in prayer, confessing our sins, knowing that God's grace is so deep and so powerful that we do not need to fear. So let us now confess our sins together. Holy God, we come to you today knowing that we have not been the people you call us to be. You have called us to seek justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly by your side. And yet we fall prey to the world's call to us, to love ourselves above any other. We do the things we shouldn't and don't do the things we should. We forget to look for the good in the world and instead grow angry about what's hard. We forget that we are called to be helpers that we seek. Forgive us, God. Help us to try again and do things differently. We will never be perfect, but help us to be good. Amen. Friends, our God is a God of mercy, full of grace, full of love, full of everything we will ever need. So we can rest in the truth that we have been forgiven and freed to try again. Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father.
you are being seated. If any children or young people would like to come join us at the front for the time with the children.
I need my young people. Where are you? I ask them to please raise the screen because I want you to, and everybody, to look at the panels that are up here. They were hanging up in the banner room. I don't know where they came from or what they were for, but they certainly are appropriate for this time, for what's happened in Western North Carolina. Of course, you all know that that's where Steve and I are from, and we, our hearts are just broken. But these panels tell a story. I know this is the story from the Bible, but they also tell a story about what has happened up there. Who can tell me what the first panel shows? What's happened? What happened in Western North Carolina? There was a what? A big... big flood? Okay. The first one shows the big flood. And the second one, of course, we know that God promised that would never happen again, and we hope it will never happen again. Because you see the dove coming and the rainbow. Okay, over on this side, there's the dove. Whose hands do you think those are? Could they be the hands of the people in Western North Carolina that need help? Yes. To me, that's what it means. And then communion, the last one. The people are getting help. Have any of you done anything to help in the mountains? Have you collected anything? No. No. No canned goods, no food, no blankets, no coats. No. Well, okay, then I want to challenge you to find a place that could use your help. I know that Silas and Ethan have been with their mom up there, and she has been at a... stockyard, a place where, and they've been trying to get hay and things like that for animals. And she's right there in my hometown. That's where she's been working. So I was hoping that they would be here today so they could tell about what they had been doing. But anyway, I want to challenge you to please do something at school. Your school did something. The high school went over to Riverside to help clean out homes over there. That's wonderful. But, you know, I know you all can do something too. So, please at least be in prayer for these people because my family's up there. And my son's business was destroyed. So, we want to remember them and try to help them in any way we can. Okay? So when you look at these panels up here, let them represent not just the story of Noah, but also what's going on in our world today. Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for so many hands that have been helping the victims of the flooding in Western North Carolina. Our church cooks just sent a huge load of coats, blankets, hats, because it's cold up there. And these people need those things. Cooks has been doing a lot for the victims. So, thank you, Cooks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week. Look for something that you can do to help.
We've been doing a series of gospel spirituals, bluegrass spirituals. So last week was Church in the Wildwood. This week is Keep on the Sunny Side. And every time I hear this, I remember when I was in barbershop, there was a barbershop song that went, stand on your two legs, be like two fried eggs, keep your sunny side up. And so I always think of that when I hear this song. So, but if you know it, please sing along. But this will be a song that you can't help but feel happy and feel glad, even in the midst of a lot of sorrow that's happening. But we need to be the beacon of joy that God gives us, and we can have joy in the midst of crisis. So that's what this song is about.
Together. God, we know that you make all things new. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word in a new way this morning. Open our spirits to your holy transformation. Open our ears to listen for a new word. Amen. So our scripture today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Verses 16 through 21. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, since they have that now. So it'll be a little different than what's in your pew Bible, but not a lot. So hear the word of God. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is what we call the book of 2 Isaiah. If you were to look at the full entirety of the book of Isaiah in Scripture, you can divide it into three separate pieces. There is before exile, exile, after exile. So the prophet Isaiah is speaking here in 2 Isaiah to a people in exile. And these are a people who know their story. We are clued in at the very beginning of this text. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. This perhaps sounds familiar. This path in the waters, this way in the sea, whether you grew up immersed in the stories of Scripture or you were a preacher's kid from Alabama who really liked the Prince of Egypt. The jump is not hard. These people are being reminded of their story, this great story of God's deliverance of the people from Egypt. So I imagine that when these people were reminded of what was, of what had been, they felt similarly to when you and I are reminded of the golden days of the church. I can't speak for Cook's, but I can speak for First Presbyterian Church of Arlington or Sardis Presbyterian Church. But these feelings, they're real. The bricks, the plaques on the walls and the windows call out to us saying, remember when? Remember when the pews were packed? Remember when we never had to worry about the budget and when Sunday was for church and nothing else? Don't you remember? Those were the good old days. I am sure that I am not the only one clinging to the stories of what was these days. We are grieving the pain that our friends and neighbors in Western North Carolina are feeling. We miss what was. We want to go to what was. We want to go back to Montreat or Swannanoa or Asheville and see the places that formed us. And so we fall back on these greatest hit stories of our past. They have a way of putting us at ease nearly immediately. They are an escape, a chance to close our eyes to the current world and sink back into the moments where it just felt like everything was all right, that we were okay, that everything was going to work out fine. Now, was this true when it was happening? No, it never is. But the gift of nostalgia is that it has a way of making us forget the hard parts, forget about the painful that was in the midst of what is now our comfort memories. So the Israelites may have had the same response to hearing these words from God. I imagine that these people who are hanging out in exile, not having a great time, are ready for Isaiah to offer them a word of comfort. Surely Isaiah is going to walk up to them and say, rest assured, you remain God's beloved people. Don't forget, God saved you once. Never again will God let harm come to you. You can just enjoy it all. This has been great. But that isn't what happened. That's never what happens. It would have been easy to sit in the memories of what was. to relish in the memories of what God did. But the prophet is calling them, and I think calling us, to something new. Do not remember the former things, Isaiah tells us, or consider the things of old. And this is the moment where you know that Isaiah was not talking to Presbyterians. But Isaiah was talking to a group of people who are living in a time of great, great darkness. This is a group of God's beloved children who have been brought out of slavery and into this time of wandering. I know I would have been calling out to God for help, to show up and be present with me again, and I bet you would too. You and I, we don't live in exile. We live in Charlotte. We are sitting in these pews not having been refugees. I would imagine that most of us don't actively worry about our safety every day. When the news gets too heavy, we can turn it off. When it feels like the images of Asheville and Montreat and Boone and Swannanoa are just going to break our hearts beyond repair, we can look away. When these never-ending political ads feel completely overwhelming, we can hide. When we cannot fathom the weight of the world, we can turn away. And we do. But that doesn't mean that we aren't familiar with darkness, that we can't relate to the Israelites. We sit in the isolating darkness of pregnancy loss and infertility. We cling to calendars chock full of chemo and radiation appointments, of CT scans, x-rays, rehab. These Google search histories are full of questions that we don't want anyone to know we're asking. How do I know if I should seek help for depression? Are these symptoms something I should worry about? Where's the closest treatment center for my child who's struggling with addiction or with an eating disorder? We are not unfamiliar with the darkness of our world. And so we turn back to the stories of what was, when things felt safe, and when it felt like God was right next to us. We are told in this text that God is about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Earlier this year, and your fun fact of the day is that this is my favorite day of the year. Earlier in this year, we remembered Ash Wednesday. Our foreheads were marked with ash that reminded us that we are nothing but dust. This same dust that has been around since God created the world. The Hebrew for this word is tohu vavohu, which is just kind of fun to say. It means chaos. God created the world out of chaos, breathed life into our souls, formed us from dust, and set us on a journey that's going to be filled with light and dark. And that is how we know that God is good. Every week, it's our job to ask questions of the sacred, inspired Word of God. And this week, the text gave us its own question. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive what God is doing in the midst of this good place with you good people? God's question for us has been rattling around my brain this week. For it's not without instruction. God tells us what to do. God tells us how to look for this new good thing. Turn away from the things of old and imagine what is to come. Easy enough, right? Maybe, for some people. Not always for me. I imagine not always for you. The comfort of what was, it offers the control that I know that we are clinging to right now. To release the familiarity of what was, to truly jump into this imagining of a new thing, that feels like a free fall. Will we be okay? Will we land on our feet? Will God catch us? Could it be that we've been wrong this whole time and no one's going to be there to save us? Thanks be to God, we know the answer to that question. We know that our God provides water in the wilderness. We know that our God provides rivers in the desert. Our God gives drink to God's chosen people, these very people that God formed from the dust, so that they might sing God's praises always. We are the followers of God who sent Jesus into the world to live among us. We are the followers of a God who loved God's people so much that they were delivered out of Egypt in the face of power that we can only imagine. Theologian Kristen Johnson Largan writes that God is a God of the future. And not just any future, but a future full of hope and of promise. God is the one who brings hope out of desperation, day out of night, joy out of mourning. God makes a way where there is no way. And God leads us into a bright future that we are able neither to see nor to create for ourselves. Beloved, the thing about our faith, the very best thing about it, is that God is God and we are not. And God is always, always doing a new thing to bring us closer to God's kingdom. And so I say, do you not perceive it? Amen. Friends, before we enter into a time of prayer, I'd love to know, are there any particular prayer concerns that you would like to share with the congregation today? Thank you for sharing that. If you couldn't hear, the former choir director, Charles, his daughter, Charles Matthew, his daughter is, Melanie is very ill. So we pray for her. Any others? Any others? All right. Well, we know that God knows what is on our hearts, even if that is the only place it is. Let's pray together. Wonderful God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, knowing that your love and grace are the foundation on which we stand. God, we know that not only do you hear our prayers, but that you respond to them as well. And so in humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession, supplication. We pray for those who have been affected by severe illnesses. We pray for individuals fighting disease, as well as their families and caretakers. We pray for families who are in the midst of deep, deep grief. We pray for a world that has forever been harmed by sin and the mistakes that we make. We pray for our country, praying that the Spirit will move within us, will remind us that we are one people. We pray for those impacted by acts of unnecessary violence, storms that destroy it all. God, we pray that you will heal this world through our work, through the healing of our hearts, through the work that you have called us. We pray for those here in this community especially. We pray for Charles' daughter, Melanie, that you be with her. We pray for those suffering from the horrible impact of mental health struggles, particularly for Kim Burns and her family. We pray for Nancy Smith and Jack and Jeannie McClure, Charlie McCrary, Ronnie Peterson, Ellen Jackson, Sharon Gilmore, the uncountable, unsurmountable number of people who are victims of Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton, and all others who are in our hearts, in our minds, and just need to know that they are not alone. When we are overwhelmed and do not know what to say, we trust that your Spirit is in the midst of sighs too deep for words. And right now, it seems that that might be all we can offer. But remind us that our love is not worth nothing, and that it matters. We pray this, all of these prayers to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to take some time reflecting on all that there is in this world to think about these days, and to give thanks for all God has offered us, and to think about how we might return just a portion of our gifts back to the God who gave them. I invite you all to stand as we prepare to leave this place. But I also want to make sure that you know that if you are in need of an extra time of prayer or to reflect, that you are welcome to join Kay and James Harper in the prayer room, which is in the hallway right behind the sanctuary. So, friends, as you leave this place, go knowing that you are loved. Go knowing that you do not need to be afraid, for God is with you. God has been with you from the very beginning, and God will be with you until the end. So share that love with all whom you meet. Amen.
The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands.